Grasshopper New Media presents.
Ladies and gents, it's the Great Big Small Business Show, starring Becky McCray.
Hello, and welcome to the Great Big Small Business Show. I'm Becky McCray. Today's topic is presentation skills. Now, entrepreneurs, we always find ourselves in the spotlight, constantly presenting ourselves and presenting our company. So this week, our small business experts are going to be offering their tips for improving your presentation skills, whether that's in a formal presentation or just in those day-to-day interactions where you're representing yourself and your entire company. We'll start off with Laura Allen. Laura has her top three tips for creating a powerful presentation that's all you. And then she also has a bonus hint for us. Laura?
Hello, I'm Laura Allen, co-founder of 15secondpitch.com, and today I'm going to share my top three tips for creating a powerful presentation that's all you, and a bonus hint called Don't Be Like Glenda the Good Witch. Step one, find a presentation idol. There are lots of presenters I admire. Right now, I really love Karen Salmonson. Her last name is spelled S-A-L-M-A-N-S-O-H-N. She named her website notsalmon.com because she was tired of people spelling her name wrong. She's smart, funny, she talks really fast, and if you want a mental picture of her, imagine Carrie Bradshaw from Sex and the City, only as a brunette. Karen is going to be my presentation idol for the moment. You should come up with a few presentation idols yourself. Step number two, make your presentation exciting. Do you remember when Oprah gave away a car to every member of her audience? Well, that was definitely exciting. Since you may not have that kind of cash flow, do the next best thing. When I teach my 15-second pitch workshops for women, I wear a neon blue feather boa. Yes, it looks a little silly, but it's also fun. At the end of the workshop, the women are invited to come up to the stage and share their pitch with the group. For most people, public speaking is scarier than death. So when the ladies come up to the stage, I let them wear the feather boa. It takes their mind off looking and sounding perfect. Obviously, you have to have a sense of humor if you're going to stand up there in a boa. Step three, keep it real for you. My friend Johnny Dappolito has a workshop called Actors, Where Are You Going? I'm not an actor, but I love going to workshops, and Johnny is an incredible presenter, so I've been to two or three of his seminars so far. Johnny is very intense. He tells you all about his life during his workshop, and he helps you shed light on your own life, too. He tells it like it is and is no BS. He's got a shaved head and looks like a New York City actor or artist. One time, Johnny really wanted to look professional for his workshop, so he wore a tie. Makes sense. Most presenters wear suits and ties. He said that was one of the lowest energy workshops he's ever given. Why? Because the audience didn't know what to make of him. That tie did not fit with the very heartfelt truth that he was telling about himself and his experiences. Something about the tie made him less credible, which is exactly the opposite of what he was hoping for. Told me he went home that night, took a pair of scissors, and cut that tie in half, and has never looked back. His workshops are more popular than ever. No tie required. Here's my bonus tip. Don't be like Glenda the Good Witch. Your presentation doesn't have to be perfect, really. Last weekend, I went to a women's conference, and during one of the sessions, the exercise was to stand in the front of the room and deliver your elevator pitch. Obviously, I have a lot of experience doing exactly this, but for this particular assignment, I tried out a new pitch. And because it was new, I stumbled a little bit. But everybody in the room understood what I did. And that's the most important part. I teach people how to create a clever 15-second pitch. At the end of the workshop, one of the women in the room who teaches presentation skills approached me. Imagine Katie Couric, only this woman was better dressed and even more enthusiastic. May I offer you something? She said to me, and I knew she was going to offer it whether I said yes or no, so I just played along and said, yeah, sure. For what you do, your pitch needs to be absolutely perfect. I noticed that you stumbled a bit towards the end, and that will cost you points. In order for someone to want to work with you, you'll need to be able to deliver a perfect pitch every time. I looked at her and I felt really, really bad about myself. Her suit probably cost more than my rent. Her shoes definitely cost more than the first car my dad got me when I was 16. Laura, you'll need to be able to deliver a perfect pitch, Glenda the Good Witch echoed in my head. I stopped for a moment and I thought, no, I don't have to. My clients like me because I let them know it's okay if their pitch is not perfect. A good pitch today is better than the perfect pitch tomorrow is one of my favorite mantras. And the same is true for your presentation. I saw Glenda the Good Witch that day give her presentation, and it was absolutely flawless, but it was also deathly dull. Every tip or hint she gave was something I was sure I had read or heard 1,000 times before. Don't get me wrong, people clapped and they seemed to enjoy it, but I'm the girl who wears the blue feather boa, and I could never get away with that canned presentation, not in a million years. I'd need to go home and take a pair of scissors to that Armani suit. But wait, on second thought, that was a pretty expensive suit, wasn't it? So maybe I just sell it on eBay and buy a new boa in every color under the rainbow. This is Laura Allen, co-founder of 15secondpitch.com, reminding you that a good pitch today is always okay.
Thanks, Laura. For our next segment, we're going to Chris Brogan, who's going to share some of his passion for effective presentations that aren't overly planned. Chris?
Improv presentations and the storyteller's promise. Hi, this is Chris Brogan. I am a big fan of presentations. I do a lot of them, mostly for educational purposes. What I found is that one thing that happens that makes a difference in presenting is to make sure that you keep things lively and fresh and new. One way to do that is to do it totally without a net. Take now, for instance. Hear any background noises? I'm standing in the middle of a playground watching little kids play. There's nothing in front of me. I'm going off the top of my head. It's good for educational purposes because it shows, one, that you know the material, and two, you can talk about it in different ways. What are the downsides to doing it this way? Sometimes you might miss something. You might forget a detail, and your audience may or may not capture all of the information you provide in an improv style. So there's just some downsides right off the bat. But for the most part, it's nothing but up. Here's the thing, and this is why I call it also the storyteller's promise. If you are going to consume a certain amount of time with people by giving a presentation, if you're going to have an audience on the other side of you, you have to make sure that you deliver value. And part of that value is entertainment. It is not okay just to feed people information. You must entertain them. You must make it worth their while to be there. And you must help them stay alive, stay awake. What good is giving people information if you make it so boring that they actually fall asleep listening to it? To that end, always promise on what you're going to offer. Always deliver what you say you're going to set out in front of them. If you say, by the end of this presentation, I am going to have you fully knowledgeable on the latest trends in video manufacturing, well then guess what? That's what you're going to offer. You can't go off and start talking about your dog. You can't tell them just the first few things that come to mind and forget the rest. But wait, you just said to not do it with anything in front of you. All right, well, I'm stretching a little there on improv. But it's important not to just go through a canned deck of PowerPoint and poke your finger at it every now and again. Even the best PowerPoint presentation in the world is not as engaging as a human really in tune with what they're doing. So, take notes, have the notes available. Practice this presentation a few times so it feels like it's coming out naturally. But then beyond that, it's all up to you. It's up to you to sell this information into people's heads such that they feel like they get it, they feel like it's fresh information, and they feel like they're participating. That's one I almost forgot myself, participation. What's the sure sign of a great presentation? Audience participation. It is not okay just to deliver this stuff to people, even if you're the expert and they're not. Find ways to get them involved. And you know what? don't do the patronizing way. Try a couple other methods that'll get them more involved, that aren't like the, you know, how many people do this? How many of that? And how about a show of hands? And, well, we do this because we, right? You know, there's so many times you get spoken down to in life in a presentation, and try hard not to make that the case. Try to get people's contributions to this be from their own experience so that you don't have to make them feel bad. Use analogy, use metaphor to draw them into the conversation. You know, how do you do that? So, say you're talking about how to make an audio podcast. You can say, all right, well, how many times have you had a conversation with someone at a party and you didn't really understand everything they were saying because they talked too fast? Well, in podcasting, it's the same. You have to make sure you talk a little bit slower so that people can catch everything you say, but not too slow so that the person isn't sitting there wishing with all their heart that they were somewhere else. So, I've covered a bunch. That's less than 4 minutes of talking, and I wanted you to know that it's important to keep all your presentations fresh and new and vibrant, and the way I do that is through improvising and just going off the top of my head on information that I've already studied up on. And two, to remember the storyteller's promise, that at the beginning of this presentation, if you promise X, you've got to give X at the end of the presentation. And secondly, that you are not allowed to waste people's time. You must entertain them. You must keep them informed, and you must keep the information vibrant. That's all for me. I'm Chris Brogan. Want to figure out what I'm doing in life? Come over to chrisbrogan.com. Back to you, Becky.
Thanks, Chris. Our next presenter is Ted Demopoulos. Now, Ted is always going somewhere interesting and doing something outlandish. And this week, he's going to tell us 4 ways to make your next presentation compete with the orangutans. Ted?
Hi, this is Ted Demopoulos, taking a break from blogging at bloggingforbusinessbook.com, a nice short URL. Today's topic is presentation skills. This is a timely topic for me because I just came back from performing at Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas, where there are a lot of performers, including this guy that performs with trained orangutans. Now, my only props were PowerPoint slides. My topic wasn't naturally exciting, unlike orangutans acting like humans. So what did I do? What should you do for a presentation? Here are 4 simple tips. First, relax. What? How can you relax? Why should you relax? Most people are nervous about speaking, about presenting anything in public. But remember, the audience wants to like you. Absolutely, they want to like you. Even if you're talking about security policy and awareness programs like I was, they are predisposed to liking you. Secondly, don't rely on your props. That means your PowerPoint slides, probably, unless you happen to have orangutans or something more exciting with you. Hey, if I just read my slides, why would they have needed me there? The people could have taken my presentation, lied down on a comfortable couch somewhere, and read it themselves. PowerPoint is responsible for more ruined talks than almost anything, even rambunctious orangutans. It's just a prop. You don't need it. Just don't look at it and read your slides. Third, smile. Look at the audience. Make eye contact. In other words, act like a friendly human. Humans like other friendly humans and tend to listen to them and maybe even learn something. Fourth, have fun. The audience will sense it and have fun too. And that puts them in a state of mind to more readily absorb your message. What? You can't have fun? You don't like talking? Well, you're almost done. Isn't that fun? Have as much fun as you can. Presenting isn't hard. Most of us just don't do it very often, so we don't get much practice. These four tips. Relax. Don't rely on your props, i.e. PowerPoint slides. Act like a friendly human and have fun. Will make your talk more effective and enjoyable. Until later, this is Ted Demopoulos. Thanks and goodbye.
Thanks, Ted. For our next segment, we're going to go to Ben Yoskovich. He's going to talk about a specific type of presentation, and that is presenting constructive criticism. Ben?
If you have employees, then you're probably familiar with giving constructive criticism. If you're about to hire someone or plan to in the future, then you should be prepared for this as well. Whether you do it in a formal manner through performance evaluations, or you do it on the fly on a project-by-project basis, doesn't really matter. Constructive criticism is still part of the game. And it's important. Employees need to understand where they've gone wrong and how they can improve. It's not about treating people poorly or being negative. It's really about raising the bar, matching your expectations as the owner of a business, and helping people improve. So, how can we give constructive criticism well? I've got 5 steps. The first one is plan before you do it. Make sure you know what you want to say and why. Have a clear path through the entire discussion. Leave room for questions and dialogue. Keep the conversation open and flexible, but make sure you plan to get your key points across. Number 2, build the person up. Before you get to the criticism itself, focus on positives. Highlight some of the good work the person has done recently, maybe goals that were met or surpassed. Try and emphasize the positive, solid qualities that the person brings to the table. This isn't about overinflating people's egos or setting a person up for a fall. It's about making sure the person understands they are valued and important, even if the next thing you'll be doing is pointing out some problems. 3. Provide clear criticism. Now it's time to bring your concerns to the table. Do it as concisely as possible, and do it as clearly as possible. Don't waffle around. Get to the point. Your approach will differ depending on the person you're speaking to. Some would rather you spit it out, others require a slightly more delicate approach. Still, it's best to make sure your criticisms are as clear as you can possibly make them. Otherwise, it makes it difficult to set a clear path towards improvement. The 4th step is to build the person up again. You've sort of broken them down by providing criticism, and now it's time to focus on solutions. We want to focus on re-emphasizing the positive while keeping an eye on what needs to be done to improve. Try opening it up for discussion. You can ask questions like, "What do you think of my assessment?" or "What do you think of your recent performance?" The goal at the end of a session like this is to leave the employee understanding the problems and having a path towards resolving them, without feeling like gum stuck to the bottom of your shoe. The final step, number 5, is follow-up. This exercise of giving constructive criticism should never be undertaken without follow-up. It may be another meeting scheduled with the employee. It may be an impromptu session where you review the progress made. If the person knows there's follow-up, they're going to feel more confident that the criticism isn't hanging over their heads forever. No one wants to feel like they've got a permanent dark cloud over their shoulders. Follow-up can erase constructive criticism if the person has improved and met goals, so always follow up, even if it's a quick compliment on a job well done and not a formal second review. Just follow up. Giving constructive criticism is part of being a boss. You need to evaluate employees and measure their success. When providing constructive criticism, you want to make sure you can get the message across and set goals without demoralizing or devaluing the person. That's it for me today. Thank you for listening and best of luck with your business. If you'd like to reach me directly, please visit my website at www.instigatorblog.com.
Thanks, Ben. Now we're going to turn to Steve Rusinski, who has three keys for delivering effective presentations. Steve?
Hi, this is Steve Rusinski of the Small Business CEO web blog, which you can find at www.smbceo.com. Today's topic is delivering effective presentations. This is one of my favorite topics. I've been giving presentations for just about 25 years, and I've learned many lessons along the way. Today I want to share with you what I think are the top three keys to delivering an effective presentation. Key number one, focus on your audience. The purpose of any presentation, including this podcast actually, is to serve an audience. Do some research. Learn all you can in as much detail as possible about the presentation attendees. Do your best to learn and understand their expectations beforehand, so in your content and delivery you can come as close to possible to meeting those expectations. In some situations it may be appropriate to ask the audience what their expectations are. Take the time to list them on a flip chart so you can keep them in mind as you move into your presentation. At the end, check with the attendees to see what you might have missed or could add to meet their expectations. Remember, focus on the needs of your audience, not yours. Key number two, know your venue. Learn all you can about the location of the presentation. Visit it beforehand if possible. How big is the room? How many people will it hold? Are there chairs, tables? Where will you be presenting from in the room? Are there light controls? Is it a warm or cold room? Where's the door? If you're using a projector, does it already have one for you? Does it have a screen or a place to project an image? Will you have a podium, a microphone, a room to move around in? Know your venue. Key number three, know your content and practice. I'm assuming you know your subject matter, but a couple of thoughts on presentation. I always like to organize around an outline and remember the old, tell them what you're going to tell them, then tell them and tell them what you told them. A couple of thoughts if you're using PowerPoint. Please do not paste a Word document into a slide and then read it to the audience from the slide. In fact, you should be able to do the presentation without ever looking at the screen. This takes practice. Practice presenting to a friend, your family, a recorder, anything, just practice. Nothing is worse in a presentation than repetitive fillers from the presenter. What I mean is the ums, okays, huhs, all right, and more. There should be no fillers. They signal lack of preparation and disrespect for your audience. Well, that's been three key things, and I'm going to throw in a bonus thought. Calming your nerves. It's natural to be nervous. Not scared, but excited. Here's how I overcame my nervousness over 20 years ago. I took a Dale Carnegie sales course that my employer at the time paid for. I think this one was about eight weeks long. In the third week, we were asked to do an impromptu presentation on something personal about our lives. I chose to talk about my dad dying when I was a teenager. I'd never done so with a group before, and actually not with too many individuals either. To be honest, I did cry at the end of my 5 minutes. So what? What's the point, you say? What I learned was, if I can get up in front of a total group of strangers and tell something intensely personal and even cry, why would I ever be afraid of presenting a business topic to anyone? There's no comparison. Every presentation after that I've enjoyed doing. I still have to prepare as I outlined above, but I'm never afraid. Thanks, this is Steve Rusinski with the Small Business CEO. Hope your next presentation is a great one, and have a great day.
Thanks, Steve. Our final segment today comes from John Swanson, our entrepreneurial chicken. While he feels like he's too chicken to be an entrepreneur, he has wonderful philosophical insights for us. And today, he's thinking about presentations and overcoming any fear you might feel. John?
This is John Swanson, the entrepreneurial chicken, talking about another kind of being chicken. In a previous life, I was a speech teacher. And one of the things that I enjoyed about teaching speech was working with students who are absolutely terrified of standing in front of audiences. Why? Because I could identify with them. even though I had done 3 degrees in communication, I still had a hard time standing up in front of an audience and talking. I still get nervous now. But one of the things that has helped me most to deal with my fear, and one of the things that helped me most in teaching students to overcome their fear, was not telling them to imagine that their audience was dressed in clothes other than they were currently dressed. That's the common advice that you hear. What I discovered is that if people cared about the message that they were sharing, if they were passionate about it, if they actually believed more in getting their information across than they believed in their fear, they could overcome their fear. It's funny to think about passion being important to overcome communication anxiety, but it is. There is something about saying, you know what, no matter what, these people have to know this. They have to understand this. Their life depends on this. Now, I used to have to help people back down a little bit from trying to get everything that they wanted to get across. Information that would fit easily into a 3-hour presentation down into a 5-minute speech. But there was something about caring. There was something about being passionate that helped them deal with communication anxiety. Helped me deal with communication anxiety as well. Right now, I am standing with my back to the Gulf of Mexico, down in Gulfport, Mississippi, with about 20 people who are working, helping put up drywall in the house of a guy that couldn't afford to hire people to do it. People that came down to volunteer to do that kind of work. The thing that characterizes them is that they're passionate about helping. Now, they may not be terribly articulate about it, but if you ask each of them why they were doing this, they can come up with an answer. They could probably turn it almost into a 5-minute speech, though most of them would hate doing that. But what lets them do it is that they're passionate about helping. They are passionate about loving. As you're approaching your next presentation and you are scared to death about doing it, don't try and imagine anything about your audience. Just remember that what you are talking about matters because it'll change their life. And if it wouldn't, why exactly are you doing what you're doing? I know. That's not a very chicken thing to say. But somehow, having spent the day in the house of a guy whose previous house floated away, it makes me a little bolder tonight. This is John Swanson, the entrepreneurial chicken. I can't start businesses the way you do, but I love that you're doing it.
Thank you, John. And thanks to all of our contributors this week. Laura Allen, Chris Brogan, Ted Demopoulos, Ben Yaskovich, Steve Rusinski, and John Swanson. And thank you for listening. During this coming week, please call our new listener line, and that number is 206-666-3768. And call with any small business question that you might have, or come by our website, www.gbsbs.com, and leave your question as a comment. Our next topic will also be on financial management and finances. I can hear the groans already, but you know it's important to your business. So if you like what you've heard today, stop by our website and subscribe to our show. And if you're new to our show, feel free to go by the site and look through our archives. Thanks for listening, and have a terrific week.